White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 525.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! And welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with thewareaglereader.com. And of course, people like you right there listening to us, you out there, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, you are our Patreon.com family, and what could we do without you? I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we reconvene for a fairly brief, I suppose, episode. We have our usual shenanigans to get through tonight. I just got through interviewing a really cool sci-fi author out in San Francisco, and I'll be posting that episode on the White Rocket feed over the next couple of days. But meanwhile, we have important Auburn sports to talk about. So how are you doing, sir?
I'm hanging in there. You know, it's the depths of winter still in a way, and it's been kind of miserable in our part of the country for a few weeks, and so I'm looking forward to getting outside, getting some fresh air when that happens. But otherwise, I'm hanging in there.
Amen. Me too. I've been hard at work on a new book, and still got a few things percolating. We've been talking about our various activities. We got our road trip thing we're talking about that may or may not be able to happen. We'll get to that a little bit later. And I'm working on a new novel. We've got our Auburn books we're working on. So lots going on, trying to teach my classes and stay healthy. Got my first COVID shot a week or two ago and waiting for the second one. So, yeah. But meanwhile, in terms of Auburn, I think the thing that's really kind of surprised me the last week or so has been that Auburn has been landing some commitments already. I'm not sure if it was mostly like people filling out the current class because we had a few spots left, or whether it was people for 22. But I've been hearing, you know, good things. They got like this quarterback that's actually looking more promising every day, you know. And I mean, it just sounds like the future is looking maybe brighter even than people were thinking it would in terms of this current staff recruiting. Have you heard the same things?
I have, and I think they've been really trying to recruit locally. Some of the kids you've heard about, you know, are like preferred invited walk-ons from the local area. But also, they, you know, in the 22 class, you know, we have three commitments right now. One is Holden Grenier, the quarterback you mentioned, who's from over near Savannah. And then the other two, you know, one goes to Auburn High, one goes to Opelika. So, you know, a cornerback and then a linebacker, Powell Gordon is the linebacker from Auburn High. And then they, you know, almost won the state title this year. And he was, you know, a lot of people think the best player in the field. So, it's a good, you know, but also I think they're out there, you know, working as hard as they can with the restricted environment that we currently have to move recruiting forward.
Yeah. You know, the knock has always been that one of the ways Auburn sells itself is people coming and experiencing it. You know, there's plenty of universities out there that would do better if the recruits never set foot on campus until it was too late, you know, quote unquote. But Auburn is one that usually does better when the student athletes can come and visit and just kind of take in the whole vibe, you know, take in the whole scene of what it's like. And not being able to do that has been a severe handicap for Auburn the last year or so, hadn't it?
It has. It is because you're right. A big selling point of Auburn is Auburn itself and the vibe on campus from the students and the other athletes. And so not being able to experience that, it is tough to evaluate Auburn in the same way. And so I think, again, I think it's a temporary thing. I think we're, you know, probably we'll get back to allowing on campus visits, you know, this summer, and the NCAA will open that back up. And then I think it'll help this Auburn class, you know, when they start bringing in players for camps and visits and stuff during that time.
Meanwhile, the basketball team had a big win. I actually tweeted Auburn won a basketball game. I hate the fact that I had to say that in a way that sounded like shocking news, but honestly, the way things had been going the last few weeks, it was kind of shocking news that they were actually able to win. Because it's funny, they've had moments this season, like against Missouri and against Tennessee, where they looked really, really good and consistent. And there are other moments where they looked like they didn't know what they were doing out on the floor. And correct me if I'm wrong, the moments that we've played really well on the in terms of basketball, it seemed like the times that this team has played really well have been, you know, regardless of the point guard and who's having to be point guard and all that, because that's changed back and forth all year for various reasons, it has been the times when they played good defense, when they were making the other team turn the ball over more than they were, which, by the way, I've got something to say about that, but when they are forcing turnovers and when they're getting fouled and shooting free throws more than the other team, that, I mean, I know that seems kind of common sense, but that really seems to be, like, to me, the number one indicator of when this team is going to win a game and do well.
I think that's a good evaluation. I think it's part of it is, I think, the, you know, kind of being physical thing, like you're saying, take the ball and attack with it, draw contact so you get free throws. But then also, I think, you know, like you said, they didn't turn the ball over nearly as much and rebounded really well and limited Tennessee's second chance rebounds. I mean, you know, I think that made a big difference. They really attacked. And I think this team showed a lot of character. They're an incredibly young team, and they had really gotten, like, beaten with a lead pipe the last two games, LSU game and the Florida game. And so, and this, you know, they can't go to the postseason. There's nothing to play for. I'm doing the little quote fingers thing. And, you know, Sharif was out, Powell was out. You know, they were playing a Tennessee team that's ranked in the top 25. They were 15th in one of the advanced metrics that they're used to seed NCAA teams. And Tennessee had stuff to play for. They were playing for a first-round bye at the SEC tournament. And they were playing for an NCAA tournament seed. And so I think that, you know, this Auburn team showed a lot of character, I think, by they could have just laid down and ridden the season out, blah, blah, blah. But they, you know, I think Bruce Pearl, there's a little highlight clip the basketball account tweeted out that's really good. You should watch it if you hadn't. And Bruce Pearl said, like, I wanted to see you happy again. And they really needed that, I think, psychologically, you know, as we headed to the end of the season to have some, you know, reward for all the work and tough games and stuff. So I think it was really, really big.
Yeah. And they approached it, I felt like, by changing strategy some. I mean, with both of our main point guards this season now out, or the people who were forced to play point guard with Justin Powell and with Sharif Cooper out, they, you know, Flanagan had been having to be pressed into service as, like, the third string point guard, but they let Jamal Johnson, and I don't think he's ever played point guard for Auburn before. He's been more of like a, I guess, more of a shooting guard, really, if anything, although in Bruce's offense, there really aren't those defined positions are a little different to him. They just kind of all run around and try to find a shot, it seems like, at least to my untrained eye. But what did you think about Jamal Johnson at point guard, and was he was he an overall plus or minus, and what did you think about his performance?
I think he was a gigantic plus. I mean, I think he had one turnover in that game. He did. While starting for point guard against a good defensive Tennessee team, I think that was huge. And I think the other thing that was huge was it allowed Flanagan to go be Alan Flanagan, to be on the wing and attack the basket and not, like, expend all his energy just getting the ball up the court and setting up the offense. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so because Jamal took over that burden, Flanagan was able to, you know, attack. And especially in the second half, he made a lot of plays and kept things going for Auburn. But also, I mean, Jamal played a good game. Again, he didn't turn the ball over but once. He made a few big shots. He set up some other people. And, you know, it wasn't a classic, you know, great point guard game in the way of, like, 20 assists or whatever, but he was extremely competent and effective. And the big thing was, it wasn't a minus. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, we so often in this team, when Sharif is out, that the just bringing the ball up and setting up the offense is a chore and a challenge. And so having it done competently and then allowing Flanagan to be himself really, really, I think, was huge. And I think it was really smart by Bruce and the staff. It clearly made a difference.
So, yeah, and I think that Flanagan really is one of our most important players in terms of finding a way to score. That's been, you know, a big part of our team's problem is when we really lose badly, as we did a couple of times last couple of weeks, it was when we couldn't find anybody to score and we weren't playing good defense, because at that point the wheels just fall off, you know. This team has to be able to play good defense and then find points somewhere. And if Flanagan is not scoring, you're in trouble, you know. And so, yeah, this I think you're right, gives him a chance to do more. You just hate that it's come to that. I hate to think that we're going to go this entire season, which only got, what, two games left. Yep. We're going to go this entire season and never see Justin Powell and Sharif Cooper play together. It's like, not only is this not the team we're going to have next year when we bring in our other, you know, big players, but even the good players we had this year didn't ever all get to play together at the same time. It's ridiculous. So, and Justin Powell must have really gotten hurt. I mean, every day that he's out longer, the more I'm thinking, man, that guy, he must have, like, knocked his brains out.
Well, I mean, concussions are serious and create a lot of problems. And I think, you know, again, he probably had the kind of concussion where bright lights, loud noises were unpleasant and caused headaches and stuff. And so when you have that, you can't go sit in a basketball arena where they're doing flashing lights and playing loud music and every timeout and stuff. So it was huge for him to be back on the bench. And I don't think he's going to play, you know, in the last two games. But I think it was good for this team psychologically for him to be there. I think it meant something to them.
I just now want to get like an EA Sports game where you can actually have Sharif Cooper and Justin Powell on the court at the same time with the rest of the team, because it may be the only way we'll ever see that. And I guess we'll wait and see how everything plays out. But so you had a question here about your level of faith in Bruce. So talk about that.
I just, again, not here in our little space, but out there in the great beyond, I have seen a lot of hot takes and a lot of Auburn fans who are unhappy with how the second half of the season has gone. And some people even kind of questioning Bruce Pearl and the direction of the program and the roster and that kind of stuff. And I think that's laughable.
Yes.
And I think those people are the biggest, like, short-term nouveau riche people I can imagine. Like, Auburn basketball was the dreg, and Bruce Pearl pulled us out of that. It saved us and made it a legitimate NCAA tournament team every year. And I couldn't be happier. Like, on a scale of 1 to 100, what was your level of faith in Bruce Pearl preseason and now?
My level of faith in Bruce Pearl is 110% every minute of every day and has never wavered.
Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you.
That's the answer. And that's where I wanted to go with this, is just like,
yes.
Did this season work out the way we wanted it to? No. But again, it'll be okay in the long run. You know, we're going to be good. And I think you're going to look back on this year again, like that year, 2 years before the Final Four year, when we had, you know, a rough season. And I think we had a losing record again and conference play maybe. But that team built on it. And so it's going to happen. This team's going to be, you know, a force the next couple of years. And we're going to enjoy the ride. So
the difference between these guys as freshmen and these guys as, like, juniors, and even next year when some of the sophomores are juniors and the freshmen are sophomores, and we have a whole new freshman class, is just going to be astronomical. People don't understand. I mean, these are guys that are, you know, they've barely played together still. and the way that the roster's been going with injury and everything, a lot of them have never played, you know, they've never played together. So, yeah, that's, I mean, I don't even want it to sound like we're having to defend this staff or this coach or this program, because there's nothing to defend. It speaks for itself, and that's all there is to it. That's ridiculous. So, what about in football? We have an A-Day date set for April 17th. So, what are you thinking about April 17th?
Well, again, it'll be interesting just because it'll be different, right? I mean, just a day was the point where you almost didn't have to watch it. We weren't going to learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be interesting. What's the offense going to look like? What's the defense going to look like? Who's going to start? Who's going to play? But also just kind of how will they approach the game, right? We had some years when we did some kind of goofy stuff on a day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested to see how these coaches approach it. Like, I want to see a bunch of the young players play and get evaluated. Demetrius Davis on campus. I'd love to see him get out there some and run around, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I think, that kind of thing, some of the younger players on defense and the younger receivers and that kind of stuff. I want to see, what the offense looks like. And also, what are they trying to accomplish? I felt like there were years with Gus when his goal in A-Day was not to reveal anything, and that was the primary goal. While trying to get in a little bit of evaluation of players. And so I'm kind of interested in how they approach it. I think it's going to be different. I think it's, it'd definitely be kind of must-watch TV.
I want to say something about Gus here that I don't mean in a disrespectful or negative way so much as just an analytical way, okay? Because everybody's different. But I think it applies to what you're saying about A-Day. And I think it also maybe shows how over time his approach could kind of get stale. And that is, while I think Gus was very, I think he improved over the years at relating to human beings and being more personable and everything. And certainly, his wife, Christy, always was. And that was one of her strengths was, she could relate to the players and talk to them probably even better than he could. I don't think anybody would dispute that. She's famous for it. I think that Gus, I suspect, based on a lot of what I've heard and seen and all, he looked at football like he was a chess master and football was his big chessboard. And he, in some cases, at his house playing ping pong and stuff, certainly he related to them as people. But I felt like on the football field and the practice field, he always kind of treated them more like chess pieces in his brilliant chess strategy. And I think that you lose a little bit of the spontaneity and the fun after a while with that. And A-Day is a good example of that, because at A-Day, he'd be out there on the field, standing on the field like he was one of the referees, kind of directing things like he's moving chess pieces around rather than just letting them play. And, for 3 or 4 years, if you've been in a different system, that might be a breath of fresh air, make you treat a little more professionally, a little more regimented and everything. But I could see where after a while it would kind of suck some of the fun out of it to just be kind of, because to him, see, that's fun. To Gus, what's fun is treating football like a puzzle that he's trying to solve, like a chess game he's trying to figure out the great moves in. And that's fine. But the players, to them, it's running around and having fun some of the time. And, even the best teams, even Nick Saban's Alabama teams and the Clemson teams, they still have fun playing the game. They're not just robots. And I wonder maybe if over the years that kind of took its toll in terms of him kind of treating it mechanically like a computer program rather than like a fun outdoor activity. Does that?
Yes, rather than playing a game, he's optimizing the performance of an engine or something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No, I get that.
So, A-Day kind of is a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of that kind of thing. Certainly, he never showed us much, but I think by how he didn't show us much, he was showing us something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. So you were talking about local recruiting. Here was our new coach Harsin coming in telling us we were going to recruit nationally and bring guys in from Oregon or something, and suddenly we're pulling in guys from around Auburn. So what's up with that?
I mean, we talked a little bit about this at the beginning, but
yeah,
they're out there offering guys in California and, far afield. But at the same time, they're recruiting and offering guys in Montgomery and in Auburn and, nearby places. And I think that's going to make a big difference. And so I think, they're getting back into, Columbus and Mobile and places they need to be. But I think just, making some connections with the high school coaches, And it didn't mean that Gus and them didn't try to recruit locally, like they skipped that and went other places. But I think it can't hurt. I think it's a good move in that sense. Yeah. I mean, they're good players, so they're not like they're just taking guys to take them. So.
Well, you mentioned that linebacker from Auburn, and yeah, everything I've heard about him sounds like he's like on his way up. I mean, I think he was a 3-star, but that was like before he's played his last year, and certainly was all over the field in that championship game against Thompson. So, yeah.
That's right. And we can talk about this as we go along, but I think when we look back at the evaluation of recruiting, you know, who got what stars or whatever in this class that were just signed, I think it's going to be the least accurate of any in the last 10 years.
That's interesting.
Because I just think the evaluation services don't know. There are a lot of places that didn't play high school football in the fall or didn't play full seasons. And I think there's they haven't been in these big camps where they could measure them and look at them against other top players head to head. So there's a lot more, I would say, uncertainty in last year's and this year. And like in the 22 class so far, they haven't had to be able to do any of that. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty in those rankings too, especially because those guys were 10th graders or whatever. And then they were juniors last year, and now they're seniors, and a lot of the evaluation services and stuff haven't seen them, since the summer before their 10th grade year or whatever. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty in that area, and so I think there's if you see the Auburn coaches offer a player who isn't a 5-star, and you're like, what are they doing? I would just say, let's ease up and have a little faith, because I'm trusting in their evaluation, these guys. And I think it's one of these things you're going to see, players that start out as 3-stars, then everybody offers them and get bumped up and bumped up and bumped up. So,
yeah, no, I agree completely. I think that there's plenty of times that coaches are ahead of the recruiting services in figuring out who has potential. And sometimes the coaches have a much better idea than the recruiting services do, and whether for the better or for the worse, Like there's been 4-star players that our, coaches would say, I don't know about that guy, It's not always just the pure measurables, So
yeah.
I just read your note here. We promise we won't turn this into a Central Florida podcast. Now I've said before that while my initial, when Central Florida just came along in our lifetimes, basically as a Division I football program, we watched it. And originally I was like, oh, I like everything about it because that's cool. It's an Orlando school and they're cool, black and gold and the Knights and everything. And that's kind of neat. I like the idea. I like the idea of a new Florida team. Since I hate all the existing ones, it might be nice to have one that I don't have to hate. And the first, what do? They make me have to hate them. It made me really mad. So now they've actually done something to try to get back on our good side, hiring Gus and all that. But what the heck? They've brought in Nate Craig Myers, as I used to call him, old three name, back 15 years ago when we first started this show. We were talking about him, it seems like. And Mark Anthony Richards. Okay, number one question. How is Nate Craig Myers still eligible to play college football? That's the real question. This is a guy that caught passes from Sean White.
Again, Eli Stove could have come back if he wanted to. But yeah, Nate Craig Myers, again, he transferred a couple of times. Like he sat out some.
That's crazy.
So, and now he's transferred again. But the question you asked, I think, online was, if you'd left Gus before, why would you go to him now?
Yes. I said, I'm going to leave that coach that didn't play me right to go to this school where he's now coaching. Just like, okay. I guess it's going to be funny if they – well, somebody said, well, because down there they'll get on the field. In Auburn, they were sitting on the bench. I guess it's like, at Auburn there are people of similar skills to them that what was maybe between their ears didn't hold – at Auburn held them back more. And down there they'll just be glad to have them and they'll get on the field more even if they're a pain, even if they're a problem. And honestly, I thought they were both really good players in the times that I saw them on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I never really understood why they didn't get on the field more and didn't get the ball put in their hands more often.
I'd agree with that.
So
I think clearly it's easy for the Mark Anthony Richards thing. I think he went to Tank Bigsby and said, that guy's going to be a stud for the next 2 years. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I don't know how much of that was he didn't like playing for Gus or playing at Auburn, and how much it was just he thought he was going to end up on the bench and never get to actually play at all. So that's legit. Again, I still – Nate Craig Myers must have grandkids. I just don't see how he's playing. I felt like he'd been at Auburn longer than Eli Stove. Maybe they're contemporary with each other, but I know he was on the team in 16. And I know that he caught that pass against Alabama in 17 when he was not a freshman. So that's a long time ago. He was on the Auburn team before Jarrett Stidham. That's just crazy. And he's still playing
that's
college
fair.
Football. Good gosh. Okay, well, in fact, Nate Craig Myers was on the Auburn team when his offensive coordinator was Rhett Lashley, right? That's
I don't know about that. But
yeah,
maybe.
I think so, because I think that it became Chip – in 17 and 18, and then 19 was the kid that went to Florida State, and then 20 was okay. Arkansas dude. So yeah, I think 16 was the last year of Rhett Lashley. Yeah, I think that's right. Man. All right, any other news before we pause for a moment and then get into our exciting third edition of the Jared's Guess the Game in the Year segment that everybody loves?
No other news other than to say that we will not talk about Central Florida every week.
No, we will not be talking about Central Florida every week. We might have a Central Florida corner occasionally that pops up, but other than that, no. John, we don't do ads. You turn on our show expecting to hear us, you know, trying to sell you the things that other sports shows try to sell you, be it gambling sites or some kind of mattresses or some kind of order your dinners and cook them at home or some kind of pharmaceuticals. We don't do any of that. And the reason that we don't have to is because the awesome, awesome AU Wishbone family takes care of all that for us. And you too, for as little as $1 a month, you too can join that group that we lean on so heavily, not just to cover the cost of keeping the show out there, which they do spectacularly, but also to make possible occasional things like our visits to Auburn, where we recorded live video shows over the last two seasons, or I guess 18 and 19 we did it, and then couldn't do it this year, obviously, this past year. And then things like our possible road game road trip, the AU Wishbone road game road trip that we are thinking about doing. We'll talk about briefly coming up again in a little while. So if you want to get in on that fun, get on that action. We've also got our March Madness coming up. Just go to www.auwishbone.com, auwishbone.com, and click on the big orange button. By the way, before I say that, I got to say, because I forgot, sorry about all the trouble getting the episode last week. I was able to get it out to you eventually, but what happened was, very briefly, was while our show goes out to Spotify, it goes out to Apple and iTunes and Apple Podcasts and Google Play and other sources, our show is actually, the episodes are uploaded to and live on Podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N. That's why you can go to auwishbone.podbean.com and access every episode we've ever done on there. You can go all the way back to 2012 and download episodes and listen. But that's where our shows actually live. And what I finally found out after frantically contacting them, because the show was not uploading to iTunes. See, some people are saying, oh, I heard it, it was fine. Others are like, no, I can't find it. I couldn't get it because I listen to podcasts on Apple Podcasts on my iPhone. And so I contacted Podbean and they said, yes, we are under a denial of service attack from hackers and everything is down right now. So what happened was, if you listen on other sources, they were able to get it out to them, but for some reason they couldn't get it to Apple. So I tried like three different times to get it and it wouldn't work. And then the next day, all three popped up. So I apologize if you got three different versions of our most recent episode before now. That was, I know it's a pain to get the same episode three times if you did, but that was just me trying to get it to you. So, you know, it worked out. It just took a day. So anyway, if you want to help us with all of this, just go to www.auwishbone.com, click on the big orange button. And I always thank the folks who have done that. So here are the fine folks keeping our programs going, and we thank them all. They include, where did they go? Oh, there they are. They include Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drucker, Samuel Salvatore, and Christopher Burleson, along with Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Tom Anderson, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, hey, you falling up, Ben Bloodworth. I'm sorry, Ben. Ben, I've talked a lot on the air tonight. Ben Bloodworth, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, James Greenwell, Joel Beckham, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B., Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy W.D. Ritchie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Alex Nguyen, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Cato the Barner, Chris Hilton, Colby Butler, Danny Flack, as well as Darius Benton, David Simpson, Di Bama, not a minute too soon, Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Algorithm, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross Russell Milling, Shannon Butson, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Tony Perry, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Brandon Smith, Chris Como, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Lawrence Kane, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, Mick Vigicana, Nicholas Craig, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Robert O. Sammons, Russell Souther, we're almost to the end, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Kenneth Brent Range, Brent Rumble, Chris, as well as our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Again, just go to www.auwishbone.com. By the way, when you go there, you can also access all 8 existing episodes of We Believed. We have 2 more episodes coming out now that the 9th episode's history has been completed. It's the Gus Malzahn era. Then John and I can sit down and actually do that episode. And then we'll have the 10th episode, which speculates on the future of Auburn football. But you can go listen to episodes 1 through 8 anytime you want. They're permanently linked at www.auwishbone.com. And now, oh, you know what I haven't done, John? I never, because I was doing the White Rocket show and I don't use the soundboard for it, I never actually loaded up the soundboard tonight.
Oh, darn.
You see, if I click this and click this, then...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
It's a trap.
So what do we have in our mailbag tonight?
Well, first, I believe, don't we have another episode of Guess the Game?
Oh, we do. Yes, I forgot the order that we do that in. All right, we'll count that as a listener question because I already did the introduction. So, by the way, you had a note here for our listeners that 2 weeks from now we will have the bracket and people can begin making picks. The schedule is slightly strange. Aren't they playing like all the games in one location or something weird?
Yes, they're bringing it back to Indiana for the tournament. They're going to play all the games there. And again, if you're used to the traditional NCAA tournament schedule, it's different this year. You should look at it. For an example, the first weekend, I believe, that they normally do the first 4 thing like on Wednesday and then games Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Sunday. I think they're doing the first 4 on Thursday and then games Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So I think there will be second round NCAA tournament games on that Monday. So you should be prepared for that. But if you are a patron, you should be prepared 2 weeks from right now to be entering your bracket into our bracket pool and crushing Van and I.
And they're going to, in tribute to them playing it all in Indiana, and this is the other, this is the most famous person from my hometown.
Writing's not.
Oh, no. Sorry, stupid YouTube. Here's the most famous person from my hometown.
Hey, fans. It's once again time for the traditional singing of Back Home Again in Indiana. And once again, it is my privilege to introduce to you Mr. Jim Nabors.
Shazam! Bear with me. There we go. Just had to get in a little one verse.
I did not see us going there tonight. Okay.
That's the beauty of the show. You never know where it's going to go, man. We zig, we zag. You think we're going to zig and we zag. You think we're going to zag and we zig. I'm going to have to put that on the soundboard. Back home again in Indiana. I love that he's from Alabama and he sings Back Home Again in Indiana at the Indy 500. Okay, so Jared has sent us this week's edition, and he has stuck with the formula that worked, which is give us the hard version and then the easier version and then the answer, all right? So are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Ready.
Let's do it.
Hello, Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick. I am at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and I'm here with your Guess the Game. As usual, I just would like to know who Auburn is playing and what year was it. Just like last time, I'm going to play you a clip. This one's a little longer. It goes almost 40 seconds, and the names are bleeped. So I have a mild amount of confidence in you guys that you might get it off of this one. But if not, as usual, there is a hint file available. Good luck as you guys guess the game.
And it'll bring up third and short.
Now once again, the offensive staff, what are they going to do? They're close enough that this should be a gimme field goal, but that's what they thought last time. Now, do you have the faith in to give him the opportunity to throw? You can see that number. Holy cow. I wouldn't have thought that. Hmm. Oh, man.
39 carries, 195 yards, and a touchdown. Third and three. The give is to turning, jetting, touchdown, Auburn. Tigers win.
Whoa. Win.
Okay, there you have it. Who was our opponent and what was the year? I have all the confidence in the world in you.
All right. So here's what I got from that game. A, did you hear the stadium announcer?
I did not.
Okay, listen again.
Let me just say, I have a theory. I have a working theory. I'm basing it on very little.
Okay.
But I have a theory.
So it was a score that I think what they referenced that Auburn had problems in the kicking game.
Okay,
and
but we still won.
We won. We ran the ball in.
Yeah.
And the running back had a huge day.
Yeah.
30-something carries, 195 yards.
Yep. I know who got a lot of carries and a lot of yards back in the day. You want me to tell you my theory?
Give it to me.
My theory is that is the 2001 Syracuse game in overtime. And Carnell Williams ran it in on the last play to win rather than kick a field goal.
I like that theory.
I'm not basing this on anything other than he used to get a lot of yards, and we won that game on the last play when Cadillac scored. And you notice that when Auburn scores there, they don't say the clock has expired. They just say Auburn wins. That sounds like an overtime game to me.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So my level of confidence is like 80% it's an overtime game, 60% it's Cadillac, 40% it's the 2001 Syracuse game.
Do you want to listen again to the hard one?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Firm that up.
I think it was right about halfway. Let me see if I can.
Hello, Van. Just guess the game.
And it'll bring up third and short.
Now, once again, the offensive staff, what are they going to do? They're close enough that this should be a gimme field goal, but that's what they thought last time.
Okay, so maybe we missed a field goal, and that's why overtime kept going.
Mm-hmm.
So this time we don't want to go for a field goal. We're going to see if we can run it in. It's third down, so they can still kick a field goal. All right, here we go.
Now, do you have the faith in to give him the opportunity to throw? You can see that number. Holy cow. I wouldn't have thought that. Hmm.
39 carries, 195 yards, and a touchdown. Third and three. The give is to turning, jetting, touchdown, Auburn.
Yeah.
Tigers win.
See, there's no time. There's no speaking of the clock at all there.
Mm-hmm.
And the give is to Carnell Williams.
They reference the clock.
They do not reference the clock at all. They just reference an earlier apparently missed field goal that probably would have won it for him or something then.
They also reference, you know, do you trust the quarterback? And I think there was, Campbell had a rough game. He got a lot of pressure on him.
It might have even been.
I like your analysis.
It might have even been Cobb in that game, because remember we were switching back and forth between a freshman, true freshman Jason Campbell, or no, he's a redshirt freshman Jason Campbell, and Daniel Cobb. In fact, they may have both played in this game because we were struggling. We should have. If it's this game, we're just guessing. I gotta say, if it is that game, this game is infuriating because we played Syracuse up in New York and they killed us. Remember they had that big defensive end.
Freeney.
This was a Syracuse team in 2001. If that's this game, we should have beaten their brains in. This is the 2001 Auburn team that beat number one Florida, and yet we had to go to overtime to beat Syracuse, who was like 4-6 or something. So anyway, all right. Well, let's hear the. You want to hear the hint?
Sure.
All right. I feel very good about the guess, but let's see.
Okay, you have elected to play the hint file, so the names are no longer bleeped, and let's give that a listen.
And it'll bring up third and short.
Now, once again, Bobby Petrino and the offensive staff, what are they going to do? They're close enough that this should be a gimme field.
Oh, maybe that was 02 then.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was the 2002. It has to be 2002 because Petrino only coached 2002. Then he went to Louisville.
Yes.
01 was still Mazzoni. Mazzoni, yeah, I think. Mm-hmm. No, not the Braves pitching coach, but the other one.
No, Mazzoni.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna. I always want to say it was 2001, but I guess it was 2002 that we played Syracuse. Yeah. Of course, because 2001 we played them in New York, and that was 9/11. Yes. We didn't get to go.
Yes.
It's 2000. All right. So I'm gonna. All right. I feel very strong now at Syracuse, but I had the wrong year. The
2002.
But the hint file gave me the year. So Jared, you were very wise to bleep out even the assistant coach's name, because that gave the year, being a one-year coach. All right, let's pick back up.
But that's what they thought last time. Now, do you have the faith in Campbell to give him the opportunity to throw? You can see that number. Holy cow. I wouldn't have thought that.
See, I really want to know what they're talking about there. What did Jason Campbell do in that game that they're like, holy cow, I wouldn't have thought that?
I don't know.
Did he throw for more yards than they thought, or fewer, or...
Do you want me to look up while we're talking?
Yeah, look up Jason Campbell's passing stats. We know that Carnell must have had 40 carries for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. But what were Jason Campbell's statistics in this game that flabbergasted these reporters? All right, I'll kick it back on.
Cadillac, 39 carries, 195 yards, and a touchdown. Third and three. The give is to Cadillac. Cadillac turning, shooting, touchdown, Auburn. Tigers win.
Yep. All right,
I was at that game, and I remember that very, very well now, so I think that was it. What did you find?
Both quarterbacks played. Daniel Cobb was 7 of 18 for 154 yards and interception. Jason Campbell was 10 of 15 for 117 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception.
Huh. I neither one of those is remarkable to me. I wonder what they were remarking on. I don't know. All right. Well, let's see if we had it right. I'm 95% sure now, but let's see.
All right, Van and John, if you guys guessed that it was Auburn playing Syracuse in 2001, you are correct. What? A triple overtime game, I do believe. As a side note, I was actually at that game, and it already had a late kickoff of, like, I think it was 8 p.m.
Yeah,
and then triple overtime, I found myself driving home about 1 in the morning. So, Woo, that was an experience. But if you guys got that, I am certainly proud of you, and I will catch you guys next time. War Eagle.
I think Jared was wrong there. I think it was 2002.
It was 2002.
Yeah.
It was September 28th, 2002.
Yeah, because 2001 was in New York.
Yeah.
I had airline tickets on Delta. I had a ticket to the game, and I didn't go because it was like 3 days after 9/11 or a week after 9/11. I think the LSU game was the one immediately after 9/11.
We played no games that week.
Yeah, they moved it to the end of the season. They moved the LSU game that year to after Alabama. It became a de facto SEC West championship game. But Yeah. So it's what's that? So that's funny that I first had the wrong year and then Jared had the wrong year. So I'm going to go ahead and give us credit for that.
It's funny, if you had said 2001 and then Jared had said 2001 and we went with it, but it really was 2002. But.
Yeah. This was all kind of mixed up because the first clue, we had the right opponent. The second clue, we had the right year. And then the answer, Jared had the wrong year. So that one was interesting. That was a lot of fun, though. I mean, that's cool. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that tremendously. Jared, keep it up. Everybody is loving this. It's like the coolest thing. So let's just keep it rolling. Now, do we have any? We've already done the thing. Do we have any listener questions?
We do. We have a few now that we've already played the sound effect. The first one I want to read is related a little bit to our basketball discussion earlier. And this tweet is from Tycho BB Go Crazy, whose Twitter handle is the Auburn Tiger King.
Okay.
And he says, what is the chance that Auburn ever actually gives Bruce Pearl a lifetime contract?
Never. But if they were ever going to give anybody one, I think that would be the one to get it for sure.
I agree with that. I think I would consider it, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He needs a little motivation, though, for crying out loud. I mean, if he can just sit back and rake in the money and not do anything and go 0-30 every year. I mean, come on, let's give the man a little incentive to do well. Come on.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right. As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Pearl has a lifetime contract. There is nothing that could happen on the court that would make me want to fire him. How about
right.
that?
Absolutely.
All right, we have a few emails, different topics. We have one from TB Anderson about our from Tom Anderson about the men in Auburn gear road trip, and he suggests that we read Chad Gibbs' book about traveling around the SEC. It was God and Football, Faith and Fanaticism in the SEC, and he visits the different places. And so, but he what he says is this. He says he had a different motivation for his on-the-road hypothesis, but he repeats a common approach in his visits to the 12 ACC stadiums each week during a single season. Now, you're not going to go to every road game in 2021, but you might be setting a precedent to go on the road once each season. Mm-hmm. If you got another 10 years in you, you could think about this 2021 trip in a way that anticipates going to a road game each season. Mm-hmm. It's that element of consistency I encourage you to consider. And if you haven't read the book, let me know, and I'll personally buy it for you and send it tomorrow. Right? I've read Chad Gibbs' stuff for a long time. He's good.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. And Tom has some good suggestions about, what would make a good consistent theme, good consistent things to do, the unique elements, the recurring things that we like to do. Again, based on our show, for example, he suggests trying a local barbecue joint.
Yes, that's a given. Yes.
Dan and I like the barbecue, so.
For sure, for sure.
All right, so thank you, Tom, for that. All right, we got another email from Johnny Dent, who says, Kyle Field is definitely worth it, but my suggestion will be Baton Rouge. It's completely different than any other SEC venue. And he said, we might even be able to get, to reach out to people who work at the media and information and film in the stadium, potentially, so. He said, if you ever do decide to go there, I'd be happy to help you find a tailgate to crash. So that's very kind. Thank you, John.
I noticed we've gotten a lot of feedback over this idea, which is really gratifying, and I appreciate it. And folks have been saying, things like that, giving us ideas and encouragement and everything. And so I'm glad. It kind of struck a chord with more people than just you and me, and that's really cool. So, yeah, excited.
Yeah. All right. And the last one is from Bradley Blackman, who says, I have failed to include great plays in Auburn history. These two plays come from the 2004 Auburn versus Georgia game.
Oh, boy.
Memorable for me for actually being there and also the magnitude of what the plays meant in the game. The first was the pass from Carnell Williams to Anthony Mix that
yes.
slammed the door in the dogs that day.
Yes.
And then he said,
hey, wait, I'm talking about. The great thing about that play wasn't just that Cadillac threw a touchdown pass. It was that Georgia had a great safety that had been coming up and trying to shut down Cadillac on his sweeps all day. Mm-hmm. So instead of covering his receiver, he ran up to tackle Cadillac, and Cadillac just tossed the ball right over his head to Mix for the touchdown. That was so awesome. That was just a good, smart play call. It wasn't so much a trick play as just a good thing, you know, reacting to the way that they were playing you. And I know what the other one's going to be, by the way, right? It's going to be Carlos Rogers.
He says Junior Rosegreen hit on Reggie Brown.
Okay. Well, that's I'll take that, too. But, I mean, everybody remembers Carlos Rogers climbing the ladder and making that interception, right?
Yeah. So he says, he said that hit sounded like a car accident. It was because the stadium hushed. And to be honest, he said, I thought the guy lost his life. Thankfully, he got up. That was the hardest hit I've ever heard in over 30 years of being around football. Enjoyed the show. Thanks for all you do, Bradley Black.
And it's not – thank you, Bradley. And it's not surprising it was Junior Rosegreen delivering that either because he could do that.
No, he dropped the hammer.
But yeah, do you remember the play I'm talking about, though, where Carlos Rogers went up and, you know, it's like Georgia had driven all the way down the field. They were still zero. We were shutting them out. And they threw the ball in the end zone, and the guy was wide open, and Rogers just came out of nowhere and went up and caught it way up in the air.
Man. It was huge.
Huge, yeah. That made him a first-round draft pick.
It was definitely a coming-out game for Carlos Rogers. I mean, like, where everybody in the country was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he went on to be a first-rounder, so for sure, yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's it for listener questions.
All right, I guess we can take a quick little tour of what's going on.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
Lied to me.
No. So I guess the main topic on this part of our show has just been our road trip, just because it's fun to anticipate it. We still don't even know if we're going to be able to do it this year. And in fact, I was just told by one of our listeners a little while ago on Twitter that San Diego Comic-Con is already canceled for this year. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that seems precipitous, right? I mean, that it just seems a little early to go ahead and be canceling a convention for this summer, but I guess, you know, whatever.
I think some of it is like, if you're a convention organizer, you're having to put down money now, you know, I think it comes out of that kind of thing.
Yeah. But DragonCon waits till like the week before to decide. So I'm just kind of, wow, two different ways of going about it.
I know. And I would say honestly, a big difference from a health perspective, an outdoor event, with people versus an indoor event with people. Big difference. Yeah,
that's true.
And like the Alabama athletic director said today, their plan is full stadium.
Really?
He said that on Twitter today. Greg Byrne came out on Twitter and said, our plan is 100,000 people first game.
Wow. Okay.
So and somebody else, one of the other reporters, I can't remember who it was, replied, said that this has been talked about. The other SEC teams and ADs are talking about the same way. So.
Well, you know, when the SEC said we're going to play at all this past season, there were people in other parts of the country that said, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy. And danged if they didn't pull it off and make those other places feel kind of dumb like they didn't get in on it from the beginning, too. So maybe so. I certainly want it. I want if I could snap my finger and everything would be back to normal tomorrow, I would do it right now.
Of course.
But we also want to be careful. And have common sense. I'm curious to see how it plays out. If it works out that way, that would be fantastic.
I mean, not to get way off topic with this, but I think, you know, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was cleared the FDA this past weekend and is rolling out this week, and it'll be, you know, given there'll be people getting it tomorrow. I think by August, everybody who wants a vaccine can have one.
Yeah,
like, we'll be at that point in America.
Everybody
who is interested will have been able to get a shot.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't realize it. We had a little delay there for a second. I didn't realize you're still.
No, I was just going to say, like, the only hesitancy, I think, is, you know, there's new variants coming in.
Yeah.
And some of them are more contagious. We want to wait and see what happens with those. But I think we're definitely on the trajectory that this fall should be okay.
Yeah, and Lord, I certainly hope so. I was going to say, I think the Johnson & Johnson is going to make a difference because from what I was reading about it is two things. You know, one, of course, you only need one shot, so there's less likelihood of people messing up and not doing everything they're supposed to do, forgetting to go back or not being able to go back and get the second one. And also what I was reading is it doesn't have to be kept at that super low temperature, which means there'll be less spoilage. I have a feeling a lot of the ones that are out there right now, including the one they shot me with, a lot of them are getting thrown away because they get too hot, you know. And they also can't be shaken up, whereas this new one is more resilient. So that'd be great. That means that a higher percentage of people are getting inoculated.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But it seems like our if we, assuming we can do a 2021 road game road trip, it's seeming like it's down to LSU, Texas A&M, or Penn State. So there are things in favor of each one, I think. What are your thoughts right now, just as a fun little exercise? Is there a leader in the clubhouse, or are you just totally open?
No, I mean, again, I'm going to try to go to Penn State whether we go to Penn State or not.
Right.
So I'm going to say that.
Sure.
But I mean, I think I would love for us to try to go to Texas A&M. I haven't looked at the calendar in terms of like when these things happen. I can't remember if the A&M game is early or late or whatever, but
I think it's a little later.
That would be an awesome game to try to go to. I think that game would be an awesome game to try to go to. Again, I'm assuming it's not Thanksgiving weekend or whatever. So,
right.
You've been to LSU a couple times.
Yes.
I mean, I've been to LSU's campus a good number of times when, outside of football games.
Well, here's the schedule. Penn State is September 18th. Mm-hmm. Still be hot, although I don't know what it'll feel like in Pennsylvania. LSU is October 2nd, and A&M is November 6th.
Okay. I'm open to any of those. I mean, and they all sound great. I'm sure I could find plenty of good things to eat if we went to Baton Rouge. So
I would have to say LSU is my third option right now, just because I've been there and done that, and it wouldn't be a new exciting thing to me.
All right.
Plus, we hadn't won there since 1999, and that's kind of
they get priorities. Like look this at is this. Matters. Like
John, we've got a stadium we've never played in. A stadium we never win in, and a stadium we only win in.
You know, the problem is, especially if we go to Baton Rouge and we win, and Auburn wins, then people are going to be like, well, you have to go back every time. Now. That's a lot.
Every time. That's exactly what's going to happen. Not that I'm complaining if we win, but no,
that's a lot of responsibility, man.
That's putting too much on us, man. Yeah. All right. Well, in any case, we're leaning toward A&M or Penn State, and John's going to go to Penn State regardless. I may or may not. But again, I imagine the way it would work is, like you say, we would fly in or whatever, rendezvous, get a car, attach a camera to the dashboard, and film ourselves in our wacky banter as we go finding barbecue places to eat and fans to talk to and hang out with and then go to the game and stuff. And then I would bring it all home. Bust out the video editing software that I have to learn how to use between now and the fall, assuming we do it, and put it all together into a cohesive 30-minute or hour-long show. So that'll be interesting, but that's what we'll do. So, all right. Any other around the SEC or anything else we need to talk about before we wrap up tonight?
No, I mean, I don't think there's anything big happening around the SEC. The only thing that's even marginally interesting, I think, is it was the big freshman tight end who went to LSU, Eric Gilbert, and then he transferred to Florida. He played one or two games, sat out a few games, transferred to Florida. He's been transferred to Florida for, I don't know, 4 months or whatever. And this weekend said he's decommitting out of the transfer portal from Florida and going somewhere else. So just weird.
Good grief. What a strange off season this has turned into, man. I just, the guy we got from Tennessee is kind of like that, and just all kind of strange things going on. Well,
and if you're dying because you miss football, there's football on. I mean, one AA football and some other football on the weekend, so it's out there.
That's strange. That's right. Yep. And Formula One comes back this March, comes back this month. So look for our big fantasy Formula One league. I'll put the word out on the Patreon page and see if John sends out the invitation email or something like that. We usually get maybe a dozen people at most that want to, but that's just another opportunity we had to have some fun together. So, all right. Well, I think that'll do it for tonight. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @auwishbone and at facebook.com/auwishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.